Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
First home game of 2026, and I believe the first Sabres Live of this new year as well, but I don't know what day it is, and we haven't done a lot of shows, Marty, so I am still in a bit of a holiday fog. Welcome in. It is game night, Sabres and Canucks tonight.
I am still in the time of year where I don't know what day of the week, but I know the date. We are the 6th of January.
How do you know that?
Because
it says it on the game notes.
Because I knew that January 6th we had a game against the Vancouver Canucks at home, and also because, and this is maybe my little unexpected start to the show, Duffer. I want to say a big thank you to Mark. And you don't know Mark. I don't even know Mark. But my parents stopped by Buffalo on New Year's Day. You know, on
just
their way
randomly?
Down to randomly. Listen to this, okay? On their way to Florida for the next 3-4 months, they stop by Buffalo, say hello, have dinner, whatever. On the 2nd, which was Friday, they continued on their drive. They stopped in Columbia, South Carolina, and they went to get some food. And when they got back to their car, wouldn't go. The car is stuck.
Oh, no.
They're in Columbia, South Carolina. So now through AAA, get their car towed on Saturday morning. I get on the phone with the people at Classic Lincoln of Columbia, and I'm talking to this guy, and I'm like, listen, I'm talking to you because my parents, they're French-Canadian, like they're on their way to Florida, and he goes, okay, well, let me take your number, and I'll call you back, and I give him 716, whatever, whatever. He goes, oh, a Buffalo number. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, are you from the area? He goes, yeah, my family's all from Western New York, whatnot. He goes, are you Marty Baron by any chance? I'm like, are you gotta be kidding me? The one guy I need the help from in Columbia, South Carolina is Mark. His family is from Buffalo, well, from Niagara Falls, Niagara, you know, Western New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fantastic. My parents are actually on their way to Florida right now mm-hmm. with a car that he's loaning them because it's going to take about a week to 10 days to get the work done. So
did Mark happen to catch your games when you played there?
He actually told my parents today he was a early 90s birth, and he was a huge Sabres fan mm-hmm. in those 2005-6 years, and he was 14, 15 years old, whatever. But, yeah, so a little unexpected, like, work I had to do over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you, Mark. Like, that goes back to Bill's Mafia, Saberhood, Western New York,
yep.
knowing people everywhere. Unexpectedly, this guy took care of my parents, and it was fantastic.
Sabres have known the Canucks since the get-go in 1970 as
yes.
expansion cousins. Tonight, the teams meet. Buffalo coming off their first loss in the last 11 games. Vancouver is 5-3-2 since trading away Quinn mm-hmm. Hughes. We will have, later on in the show, Josh Norris, who will have a new line mate tonight in the form of Jason Zucker, very quickly, because no one really wants to talk about it. How do you move off of the last game for Buffalo in Columbus?
You put it in the garbage.
Easy.
That's easy.
Easy.
Yeah, well, because I think that this is the perfect, I don't want to call it wake-up call, but maybe lesson to learn, right?
Yeah.
Is what made you so good was, number one, your defensive structure.
Mm-hmm.
That is how you're going to win games. Two, your management of the puck, your relentless forecheck, your skating, all of that. You're going to score goals. That's fine. But it's all about how well defensively you play. So this was the perfect lesson. Look, they didn't defend well against Columbus. They didn't really have their game. Their execution was off.
Mm-hmm.
Put in the garbage, you move on. But you better show up against
yeah.
Vancouver at home and get it done.
Well, the frustrating part for me against Columbus was the fact that we referenced it but never ended up needing to discuss it in full. And that is Columbus's inability to close out games. And sure enough, the next day, they messed up a huge lead against Pittsburgh
mm-hmm.
and lost in overtime. That was where my disappointment came. I get it. They won 10 in a row, so you have to manage your expectations
yep.
a little bit. But Columbus had just blown one against New Jersey in their previous game. They've had a history. They have the worst third-period goal differential. Buffalo just didn't muster anything in the third, and that was the only frustration. There's a reality
yep.
that we know you're not going to win every game. But based on Columbus's makeup this year, it was disappointing that they couldn't have just put them in a little bit of a tougher spot in the third period, and then to watch it all unfold and Pittsburgh continue their role miraculously the next day against Columbus, it was like, oh, boy, Columbus has still got a lot of things to work on. And yet the Eastern Conference standings, Marty, I mean, it's insane. But we'll get to that coming up.
But again, it proves the whole defend better,
yep,
and you will put yourself in a position to always be able to come back in games a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Like giving a shorthanded breakaway, right, to Brendan Gaunce and Mathieu Olivier walking in after a bouncing puck. Like Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen said, I didn't love the third goal. That was a deflection in front of the net. Look.
Luukkonen tonight, by the way.
Yes, you're right. Lindy Ruff did mention that Colton Ellis will probably get in the next couple of games. And as they continue to kind of work and see where Alex Lyon is fitting day to day right now. So, but yeah, if you had defended a little bit better,
yep,
and we're down 2-1 or, you know, in the third, whatever, like that's different. I think you put yourself in a tough spot because you weren't able to really play that identity game of defending.
Sabres are home. They've had a really good record this year and, of course, over the last 12 months, really,
yep,
on home ice. It's Pride Night tonight. A lot of, I can't tell you how much I love the crest that has been designed, mm-hmm, for tonight's jersey. Like,
yep,
the story about it, which is on our socials and on the website, and it'll be featured tonight in our pregame show. It is incredible what artist Adam Weekly has done with this, and really look forward to showcasing that more tonight. It's a terrific night on the calendar. It's Pride Night tonight. Hit up Sabres Social. Obviously, there's going to be Pride Night merch available in the store here,
yes,
if you're coming down to KeyBank Center tonight. And what everyone in attendance will see is a little bit different look for Buffalo than what we had seen over the, mm-hmm, previous 11 games. As Jason Zucker is finally back in, and that became the talking point
yesterday. The door opened for him.
Right, and the talking point from yesterday's practice became, what does this forward group look like with Zucker back in? And I ask you that same question. What do you make of Zucker coming in, essentially taking Östlund's spot on the Norris line with Noah, who's very happy that Team Sweden won the World Juniors?
Yes.
He's finding himself on, on the center on the fourth line. Most importantly here, though, Zucker returning.
So originally, when I looked at the way that the lineup was with Krebs on top line with Thompson and Doan, I thought, well, that's probably where Zucker will return.
Mm-hmm.
But you win 10 in a row, and all your lines are kind of going, and I don't know that, like, Jarmo Kekalainen and Lindy Ruff have been saying to everybody, work hard, give us effort every night. And that's all we're asking of you. And I think one of the things that you know you're going to get from Peyton Krebs is that effort.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just continuing to reward the effort. And, well, you've won 10 out of the last 11, so there's no need to change that. And I'm not saying that Noah Östlund isn't working hard. I think Noah was one of the brightest spots in the lineup playing with Norris and Tuck. But if you're going to switch things around, you're going to move Östlund back to the middle of the ice.
Mm-hmm.
So you put him on the fourth line, you insert Zucker on the wing, and now you kind of see where that goes. But I wouldn't be surprised if in game or next game or in two games, things could change around a little bit. I think this is an evaluation period for Lindy Ruff to see where Zucker is at, to see what his top six, top nine wants to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Zucker's biggest impact will be on the power play. We'll see how that is going to play out. But to me, that's the way the lines are right now. But I think there's still some flexibility in the lines.
I want to talk more about the power play coming up, but you just mentioned Lindy, so let's get his thoughts on the return of Zucker.
I think the little extra time helped him too. I mean, he came off an upper body and a lower body at the same time, and I think I'm a little frustrated he wasn't put back in earlier, but I think the little extra time will help him too, and I think he can help us.
Wouldn't he understand too? You guys were on a 10-game winning streak. I mean, you don't want to really mess with that too much too.
It's not so much, I'll say this about the winning part of it, it's just how well the individuals were playing. The reward for staying, there wasn't like you could look at and say, boy, this guy's struggling, you know. We were getting an effort from everybody that, you know, when we sit as coaches and, you know, even Jarmo sitting in some of our meetings and we're talking about lineup, you're talking about, well, does he deserve to come out? And that's a great problem to have. You don't have that problem very often. If you want to base it on last game, we could probably have quite a few guys come out.
He expressed his frustration to you about that?
Yeah, for sure. you know, I talked to him before that Dallas game, and he was anxious to get back in, which he should be. And any player that sits out shouldn't be happy. If he's happy, he's in the wrong business. So, as a veteran, put me in the lineup.
And especially since every game he had been out was a winning game, and that was building up.
You had to bring that up too, didn't you?
I'm sure he did.
No, he didn't. And he didn't bring any of that up. But he wanted to play. He wanted to be back in the lineup. I respect that. I want him to be unhappy. I want him to be upset with not being in the lineup. That's a good place to be.
Zucker is back in tonight. Again, the expectation he'll play with Norris and Tuck and Oslin down to the fourth line while Dunn comes out. No changes expected on the blue line. Now,
you want to know when I knew it was time for me to retire?
Oh, I thought you were going to say when you knew you were in the wrong business.
Well, that I never know if I'm in the right or the wrong business. But when my last year, basically, was the half year of the lockout of 2012. Mm-hmm. So we had a 40-some game season or whatnot. And I remember John Tortorella coming over to me. He goes, Marty, I want to get you in a game, but I got to see how Hank is going to be feeling or whatever. Mm-hmm. And internally, I was like, I don't need to play. Just play Hank. Or we'd give up two quick goals on the bench, and I'd be looking over and kind of turning. Don't look at me. I don't want to go. Like, it's almost like you know you're done, right? And that's what Lindy says. If you are not wanting to play and mm-hmm. okay with being out, mm-hmm. you're in the wrong business. Yep. I realized then maybe I need to switch business at that point. But that's a good thing for Zucker to be a little anxious and upset that he wasn't back in the lineup early.
Well, anybody that has sports packages that they watch every single night, and for us it's NHL, and you see the same commercials and promos on loop in every break, this reminds me of what's looping right now, the FanDuel Network promo with Eric Hosmer as host, and Hosmer with all these you know, fellow players in the game, and there's a clip that they use every single time, and it's Tyler Glasnow talking about what it's like being, like, it's like you're in this awful dream and you're standing out there and, like, you're the worst player in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And Hosmer's like, that was me in the final 4 years of my career. And every time I laugh at it, because I can't imagine how challenging that is as an athlete, like when you just don't have it. So when you're sitting there saying, oh, I kind of shied away from wanting to get in the game, I understand that. It's the opposite tonight. Zucker wants to make a difference, wants to continue to be the power play player that he's been for two straight years here on this Sabres team. My question to you in all of this, and again, Josh Norris is coming up. Can't wait to hear from him. It's Buffalo-Vancouver tonight. The power play until the last six games was ranked 14th in the NHL. So you're in the top half. You're at 20%,
you're okay,
which is fine. They've only dropped 2%, but they've dropped down to 22nd. Mm-hmm. So this was on the heels of being 24th last year, even though their percentage was higher than what it is right now.
Yeah.
It was 18.8 last year. It's 18% right now. Prior to that, they were 29th in 23-24. The last time that they were in the top 10 was 22-23, and we all know that season well. They finished 1 point out of a playoff spot.
But they were top two, top three for the first half of that season.
Right, but they still finished top 10.
Yes.
And why did they finish top 10? Because of Thompson and Dahlin.
Yes.
So, yes, we talk about Zucker being the leader last year and this year when it comes to power play goals. But if the power play is truly going to be a top power play in the NHL, does all of this discussion not come down to Tage Thompson becoming what he was in 22-23, which was Marty, he had 20 power play mm-hmm. goals and 34 power play points. In the years since, he's had 16 points, 16 points, and 9 points on the power play. And this is not a blame thing. This is just when you look at good power plays.
Teams know how to play.
We just saw Dallas and all their power play. But that's the thing. Do you look at this as like Dahlin and Thompson have to be the game changers on the power play? Or can they just live with Zucker coming back and being maybe a little bit better than they've been?
I think that you're right about the Dahlin and Thompson impact, that they would need them to be the number one and number two producing players on the power play to get back to the top 10. But you're jumping a step.
Mm-hmm.
And that step is, okay, so in the last 11 games, since the start of the streak, the 10-game winning streak, and adding the loss to Columbus, the Sabres have 5 power play goals, right? 5 in 11 games. That's not a lot. Josh Doan has 2 of them. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Doan's in front of the net.
Yep.
And why is Zucker the number one goal-scoring guy on the Sabres power play? Because he's around the front of the net. So to me, is the more dangerous you become around the front of the net, the more it's going to open Thompson and Dahlin to get like the collapsing coverage and those opportunities for them to do. So I think that if you want a top 10 power play, you need Tage to score probably 15 power play goals this, like, for the season, right? Mm-hmm. 20 is a lot, and you know, but if he scores 15 and has 45 goals, that would be a pretty good ratio power play goals to even strength goals. And Dahlin to do the same. But that's never going to happen until you get more from the front of the net. And I think Tuck should be in that picture too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Alex Tuck should be a guy that power play, front of the net, deflection, rebounds, like that big body. And we've not seen that as much. Doan has been producing a little bit of late, mm-hmm. and Zucker will help. And then maybe that opens up Thompson and Dahlin.
You know what the Sabres record is for power play points in a season by a player?
That has to be LaFontaine.
It is LaFontaine. Seventh best ever. He had 63 power play points. And of course, it was the 90. He had 20.
Okay.
It was the 92. But do you know what the NHL record is?
It has to be Wayne.
No, Wayne's nowhere to be
Mario?
Found.
Mario?
Mario is the greatest power play player in NHL history. He had 80 power play points 1 year. And
Didn't Jamie Benn win the league championship with 85 points 1 year?
Mario's best power play years, 80, 79, 79, McDavid at 71, Mario at 66, Coffey at 64, LaFontaine at 63. Those are the 7 best power play points.
Maybe there was a point to Mario wanting fresh ice that night. He knows what the power play needs.
Okay, so standings-wise, you look at where Buffalo is tonight. They're 46 points. They've sat here and watched a lot of teams move around. Last night, Washington won. They jumped into 3 in the Metro. So the wild card teams that Buffalo's chasing as of today, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, the 3 points back of both. The Panthers are wedged in there at 47. Looks like they're going to get Matthew Tkachuk back. So that's a big story around the NHL. It's crazy. And if you think the East is bunched up, just look at the Pacific Division.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's mind-blowing, and it's exciting, and that's why every game means so much, and we can't wait to see.
You cannot get into a playoff spot tonight. Like, if you're the Sabres, you can't get yourself back in the playoff spot. But you do have 6 of the next 7 at home, so that is a big opportunity.
And then 5 straight on the road. Like, what a month. This month is so absolutely crazy. Now, as far as our anytime goal scorers for tonight. Twitter poll, mind you.
Twitter poll.
The opponent tonight.
Yes, the Vancouver Canucks.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres expansion cousins, as we like to put it.
The poll question pertains to their jerseys, not the ones they're wearing now.
No.
But the ones they've had in their history. And which one is your favorite?
They've had a lot.
They have, and I think we have too. We just sometimes forget about it.
Yeah, but we did.
The leader right now is the Flying Skate, which
the Flying
is no surprise.
Which is my pick, I think.
And we have illustrations, basically.
Oh, on the MSG side, I'm telling you, this looks good. So A is the original Vancouver, the rectangle with the hockey stick through the blue and green colors.
Yes.
Then B is the V. First of all, I love that they were wearing yellow at home back then.
Just like the Kings.
Just like the Kings.
Amazing.
They wore yellow at home, just like the Swedes in the Olympic competition. They don't have a white jersey. But the V-neck, like that, you remember those Richard Brodeur days, playing for the Vancouver Canucks.
King Richard.
King Richard. Then C is the Kirk McLean, Pavel Bure time. And then D is a little bit more of the Sedin and Roberto Luongo time. So anyway, A, B, C, or D, you can go on social media, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, and vote on your favorite one for the Vancouver Canucks uniforms.
Which Sabre is going to be an anytime goal scorer against whatever Canucks jersey is being worn by the road team tonight?
Well, who are you picking? Because that may change my my view on it.
Jason Zucker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You are picking always the
and
one
it's
that comes back.
I was trying to avoid the names that we have been picking with great regularity.
Yes.
And notice that Zucker has nice career numbers against Vancouver with 8 tallies against them. So it was pretty easy for me to go in this direction.
I'm going to pick Josh Doan. And the reason why I'm going to pick Josh Doan is Did you know, this is a great question and a great trivia, he is second on the Sabres in goals right now with 12. Tage Thompson has 20. Mm-hmm. Tuck does have 12 as well. But I'm going to go with Josh Dona. I think at plus 270, that's a good little return for a anytime goal scorer, Josh Dona.
Congratulations. Tonight. You had one very recently. Last game against Columbus, your anytime goal scorer.
Yes, that did.
So the standings are getting tight between the two of us. The boat of us.
Well, you've made more money, I think, than me because you've picked a little bit greater
odds. We can
odds.
Get new headshots for this graphic at some point this year, or should we just stick with that old
one? I think we should ask AI to make some
No, I'd
some
rather
good
not,
looks.
Actually.
I tried to get AI to do a nice picture of something yesterday, and it told me it couldn't
do it. Now, hang on. Is that picture of me, or is it actually Andre Benoit, who's celebrating a birthday today?
No, that is you. That is absolutely you. Yes.
That was one of our favorite in-arena moments in years gone by.
Yeah.
Okay. Five-game schedule.
You know you can get into this rank as a former player anytime you want.
Me?
Yeah, Andre Benoit.
Andre Benoit. I should try that someday. He's 42 today. We'll do more birthdays a little bit later on.
Okay, good.
Five games.
So I'm picking Doan and you're picking Jason Zucker. Okay,
I am.
That's good.
Here's what we're looking at coming up. The one road game in the next couple of weeks happens on Thursday as Buffalo will take on the New York Rangers.
Yes.
Tough news for them with Shesterkin last night.
Yeah, lower body, left leg, and it looked like nothing at first, and then boom, he's out.
And then five straight home games after that. The Ducks, the Panthers, the Flyers, the Canadiens, the Wild. It is
back to back at home.
Oh my
Flyers,
goodness.
Canadiens. The Canadiens on Thursday, the 15th, is our big 0506 celebration.
Yeah, and we want you here. So, like, find the matchup that works best for you. Build out your five game pack today. You can get savings on single game pricing, priority access to playoff tickets, flexibility to bundle your favorite games. Just go to sabres.com/5 to purchase yours today. So, honestly, this is such an incredible stretch of home games coming up after the Thursday tilt. Marty, I don't know what we're going to get from the Ducks on Saturday. They are a team that has just gone over a cliff. They can't get any saves. They're in a stretch of 4 of 6 on the road this week that culminates with the fourth being in Buffalo on Saturday.
Yep.
And you talk about desperate times? They brought in Dostal for third period mop-up last night because Mrazek couldn't make any saves.
Yeah, no, that wasn't good for Peter Mrazek yesterday. And since the injury to Dostal and Mrazek, like about a month and a half ago, the Anaheim Ducks have not looked the same. Mm-hmm. At first, they got good goaltending out of Ville Husso, but then Dostal came back, has not worked well. Mrazek was not looking good. I mean, you got a hat trick from, Jordoff, who's Sordoff.
Yeah.
I say Jordoff. Sordoff.
Yeah, you're mixing the first name and the last.
Yeah.
Justin Sordoff.
Justin Sordoff.
Now, Justin Sordoff is your amazing story from last night.
Yeah.
He had a hat trick in a span of 11 minutes for the Capitals in their lopsided win. Not lopsided, they had a couple empty netters, so they beat the Ducks 7-4.
Yeah.
Sordoff has 9 points in his last 4 games. He trails only Nikita Kucherov for being the hottest player in this stretch. Marty, this trade that happened the day before the draft this year might go down as one of the craziest ever in Capitals franchise history if this keeps up. They plucked sort of from the Panthers for a second in 26 and a sixth in 27.
Yeah.
He was a decent AHL player, was a good junior with Vancouver
and
Edmonton.
But you paid a second and a sixth for him.
Well, to me, that's nothing. But you were also, nobody knew what you were getting, seemingly, and sort of. This all started on New Year's Eve, and then last night, the hat trick on a line with Ryan Leonard and Connor McMichael. They were dominant last night, and I love stories like this. The Capitals had a whole lot of players break through last year for them. Now they've added one more to the mix and sort of.
Yeah, and Ovi did score, and he celebrated with his kid. His son was right on the glass.
He scored two.
Well, the one that he scored, not the empty netter, the wrist shot from his office. So, he shoots, he celebrates, he turns around, spots his son on the glass, first row, right off the side there, gives him a tap in the glass, and then good. But so the NHL put out a tweet last night. Players who have recorded a hat trick in 2026. Mm-hmm. You would think, okay, these are the best goal scorers that are good. Okay, so you had Justin Sordoff, Tyler Bertuzzi the other night, Pavel Regenda, Darren Radish, who's been unbelievable in Tampa, Mika Zibanejad, Austin Matthews, and Dylan Gunter. Those are the 7 hat tricks so far this year. These would not be in my bingo card, a lot of them, if I had to say, oh, these are hat tricks for a whole season, let alone in the last 6 days.
Congrats to Sweden on winning the World Juniors. Congrats to Sabre prospect Radim Mertka for winning silver for Czechia. And with that, obviously, an incredible tournament for nations that I think will potentially make a lot more noise in the upcoming Olympics than, you know, what people focus on here, which is Canada and the U.S. But it's amazing. Sweden has just taken so long to scale the mountain again at the World
Juniors.
They've
always been so good, but could never win that next game.
Well, we obviously are looking forward to tonight here, Sabres and Canucks, and we also want you to get your tickets for the Badges and Bravery 50-50 raffle. It is presented by Northtown Automotive. You could win a guaranteed $10,000 jackpot while supporting, obviously, a really great cause. Proceeds benefiting the Buffalo Police and Firefighter Arno Memorial Foundation. The drawing is February 1st. You can get your tickets now at Sabres.com/5050. Josh Norris of the Sabres joins us next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We have introduced the new First Class Pass. It's for groups of 10 or more. It features Sabres game tickets plus private club access in the 1970 Club, all-inclusive gourmet dining, and parking passes included. Visit sabres.com/pass to learn more today. All right, let's quickly revisit our poll question of the day at Sabres Live as far as what former Canucks look is your favorite. And we have an expert on the situation joining us for his opinion. He's Josh Norris. And your initial thought when you look at some of these old uniforms, which one is the best?
Well, initially it was none of them.
Which is not an option on the poll right now.
It should be.
But you can comment. You can click the comment button and tell us if there's an alternate jersey you like.
I like D. The dark blue. I don't even know what is that, maroon.
Yeah, there's a maroon stripe. There's a gray. Yeah. It's like the orca, the killer whales in the sea for Canucks.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people that watch the Sedins and Naslund and maybe even Trevor Linden or whatnot would be in that. Mm-hmm. I'm a Pavel Bure kind of like, C, like the flying skate, the old colors, the Kirk McLean, like those eras. But Duffer, what is yours?
Probably the original. Yeah.
The original?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know me and my love for Sabres history and, of course, the Canucks coming in at the same time. I feel like that's what it looked like in the beginning.
It is so original that in the skate, in the sock, they have the thing that goes under your heel. You're too young to know that back in the days in the old wool sock, they would like have something that would go under your foot to hold it down.
And it would wrinkle and be uncomfortable, and eventually everybody would cut them off.
Exactly.
So the style's gotten a lot better.
The style's very gotten better. Are you, Josh, a jersey like guy? Like as a kid, thinking back, did you have favorite teams that you thus gravitated to, or did you like sports jerseys in general?
I don't know if I loved jerseys so much, but I loved sports. I was a big Miami Heat fan. I loved their jerseys. I loved Dwayne Wade. I was a Yankees fan. I loved Jeter. Those pinstripes never get old. I am a Tigers fan at heart, though. Those are some of the teams that I liked. I like their jerseys.
Okay, because our game night producer, Brian Moss, is such a big Detroit Tigers fan, he wanted me to ask you, who is your favorite Tiger of all time?
Jeez, that's a tough one. Depends what era we're going. Obviously, Miggy Cabrera.
Yeah, that's who he guessed. He's like, I bet you it's going to be Miguel Cabrera.
I liked Brandon Inge back in the day. Wow. He was really good. I think he's actually coaching at the University of Michigan, or was for a bit.
I was a Cecil Fielder. Like, that's my era. Like, going over the roof of the old stadium in Detroit. Mm-hmm. That's who I like.
Pudge Rodriguez. He was great. Yeah, we had a lot of good guys come through there. And they're starting to get good again, so it's good to see it.
You think they're going to stay good, or are they going to
lose? I don't
know.
Hopefully they can get Scooble
signed. That's the question, of course. As far as the hockey side of things, how are you feeling with the group now that you're back?
Yeah, obviously.
After the 10-game stretch.
Yeah, pretty good little last stretch here. It's obviously the guys, we've put in a lot of work to get back to this point, nice to be home again for sure. Felt like we were on the road for a little longer than a week, but Yeah, always good to be back, and excited to play in front of our fans again.
I don't know if since you've been back, you've had a chance to walk around town. I don't know that if people approach you and talk to you about hockey, but I know that when I'm around, people are saying, man, like when Norris came back and made a big difference. So how do you feel about having that compliment of, hey, you know what, since you've returned, the team looks different, and knowing that you've had that impact?
Yeah, obviously it's nice. I try to come back in and just give the team a spark and just be myself. But like I said, big credit to everyone. I think a lot of guys everyone's bought in and we're playing a certain type of way. Obviously the last game was, we didn't like that. And we kind of just flushed that one. But the guys feel good. And it's a hard league every night. We've started to figure out what we want to be and how we want to play. So just got to do that going forward.
What about playing with Zucker and how what's his mood been like trying to get, ready to get back in here?
Yeah, he's excited. Obviously Zucks has been a great player for a long time. And I think he's a guy that you really want to play with. He just gets pucks back. He works hard. He puts pucks in the right places as a centerman for you, and just the guy that's easy to read off of. So you kind of froth at the mouth to play with a guy like that.
What about the power play? Because obviously, like, the power play hasn't been the best, even though there was a 10-game win streak that ended in Columbus. But I think Zucker is still your leading scorer on the power play, goal scorer. So what do you think that impact brings him being on the power play again?
Yeah, obviously big. Yeah, like you said, power play struggled a little bit over the last 10 games or so. But it's going to happen. You're not going to play or have a great power play for 82 games in a row. So it's on us to get back to, producing for the team and scoring big goals and timely goals that, can put your team in a position to just go out and play 5-on-5 hockey. But he's great. He's great on the power play. He's a little savvy down there. He's smart. He's got a great stick. And I just always feel like he's open down there, so I'm excited to get him back. Yeah.
Relationship with Quinn Hughes, who is no longer a member of the Vancouver Canucks. But I mean, it's amazing how much you guys played together on the way up, right?
Yeah. It is a little weird not having him in Vancouver right now. But I know he's enjoying Minnesota a lot, and he's playing well. Their team's playing well. We've known each other since I think we were 15. Mm-hmm. We met at an unofficial recruiting visit at Michigan and went to a football game together and didn't really know each other, knew a little bit about each other, just from playing against each other. He's from Toronto, I'm from Detroit. And ever since that day, kind of just, clicked, and it's been a great friendship ever since.
Unofficial, which means you guys had to flip the bill. So who picked up the lunch tab or the, going to the concession stand tab? Like, was that your responsibility or his?
I didn't really have any money back in the day, so I don't even think we ate.
Exactly.
I think we just had a couple waters the whole day.
Yeah, you're asking people, are you done with those nachos? I'll take them.
Yeah, pretzel is more my style.
Yeah, pretzel. But. Okay, that works.
Yeah. The Michigan roots, I mean, they run pretty deep, obviously, in your family. How did you end up choosing Michigan?
Well, they don't really run deep. The Michigan State roots run deep.
Yeah. Yes.
That was actually a tough decision. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. My dad went to Michigan State, was an All-American there, had a good career, and my mom went there. They met there, and aunts, uncles, have a lot of, friends that have gone there. So that was a place that I always wanted to go to. Just when I was deciding, Michigan was in a little bit of a better spot at the time in terms of their program and the guys that they had and the guys that were moving on to play in the NHL, and just kind of wanted to be part of that history, and had a couple of buddies go there that were a year or two older than me and just told me how much they loved it. So it was actually that day when we were on the unofficial recruiting visit, I was like, yeah, I think this is the place for me, and that was it.
That's pretty cool. That's amazing. Okay, so producer Sam went in a long rabbit hole of looking down some of your social media posts on Twitter from back in the days. One of them was hashtag like...
Here. Hang on, this is officially called Old Tweets.
Old Tweets, yes, this is a segment. One was a hashtag Leland for President. You must have been watching a Detroit Tigers game at the point and really like what he did. Yeah, exactly, yeah. So that's good. there was one that said, hey, this kid stole my Gatorade. Do you remember what that was in reference to? Like, it's 2013. That's a long time ago. But you're like, this kid stole my Gatorade.
Where's the tweet?
Oh, I got it right. Oh, there it is, right there. There it is.
Some random kid just drank.
Yeah, some random Tim just stole my Gatorade.
I think when you're that young, you're just looking to tweet anything for attention. So that's probably what it was.
Okay, one was like, I really need a dartboard right now. I want to know, have you gotten a dartboard since then? Are you a big dart
this
guy?
This is hilarious. Yeah, we have, me and Quinn don't live too far from each other in the summer, and they have darts and pool and whatever, so we play darts a lot there, and then I had to get a dartboard too, so we have some good matches, and we got the standings and stuff like that. And
oh, really? So you're competitive? What do you play? Play like 501, 301? Do you play cricket?
We play I don't know what it's called, but you got to hit 23 times. Three times.
Yeah,
19,
that's
3,
cricket.
18,
yeah.
And then the bullseye. Yeah, that's what
we play.
And
if you close out the 20. And the, your
point,
opponent,
you
get points.
Too. Yeah.
That's a very good bar, dart game that you play with your buddies. I like that.
Sneaky fun game, yeah.
Do you have more tweets to unveil?
Yes, there is one more, and I don't know about this one, but so in 2013, how old were you back then?
2013.
I would have been 14.
14 years old. You tweeted, Carrie Underwood is perfect, or is perfection. You're 14 years old. She was probably married to Mike Fisher at the time, so
yes,
there was that
was.
Hockey connection.
Yeah.
She still is. So, are you still a Carrie Underwood fan?
Not so much anymore, but I was at the time. Yeah, I loved her. I mean, who didn't?
Exactly. So. I mean, every Sunday night when the Sunday night football starts and she's on, I think, oh, there's $1 million she's making tonight. But she's had a great career starting from American Idol and on, so that's good.
Yeah, hard not to like her.
Music preferences now?
Oof. A lot of country. I'm into some pop, indie, folk.
Like
Mumford & Sons, that type of music.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say that's mostly what I'm listening to.
And summer home is how far from Oxford, Michigan?
About 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too far.
Are you familiar with any other former Sabres from there?
Nathan Gerby.
Yes.
Yeah, the only other guy.
Little pit bull.
Yeah.
Nathan Gerby.
Yeah. Gerby's
look up
great.
His highlight reel goal against Philadelphia from 2011. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Gerbs.
We had your dad on, the opening night of here against the Rangers. What is he like watching the games? Does he text you, call you sometimes the next day with some notes, or does he stay away from that? Because obviously he played and he understands the game really well.
Yeah, no, you know what? He gives me my space. But there certainly are times where he'll send me a little text like, "Hey, big game tonight." Or if I'm not shooting the puck, he'll be like, "Hey, you got to get some pucks on that tonight," or something like that. So he still has that, the dad, hockey dad kind of thing in him, or coach. And I love it. Sometimes I need a little reminder, but he's great. He gives me a lot of space, and doesn't get too involved. But
if Lindy has a criticism of some sort, I want you to turn around and says, "My dad told me no." Like, just to get a reaction out of Lindy. I would say he probably has never heard that in the NHL coaching career. That would be a first, and you'd be the one to give it to him.
That'd I think my dad and Lindy actually played a few games together.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, so that would be pretty funny. Yeah.
My dad said no.
So you just opened up a thought that about, hearing from your dad and maybe needing to shoot more. What do you think of yourself as, a playmaker or a shooter?
I mean, at heart, I think I'm definitely a shooter, for sure.
Because Marty said playmaker a couple weeks ago, and
yes.
I just in a random conversation, I looked at him sideways. I'm like, I think of Josh as a shooter, but I also was just kind of assuming that, so I was curious.
Have been more of a shooter my whole career, but I think there's also another side of my game that I've kind of been able to, pick up a little bit more this year is my playmaking and.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I thought I've always had in me, but kind of always just. Thought I was a shooter and had to always shoot, but
I didn't go back and look. What was your first goal as far as what kind of play was it?
My first NHL goal?
Your first NHL goal.
Oh, it was in COVID. There's no fans in the building. It was on the power play. I tried to pass it back door to Brady, hit a skate, and I just kind of flung it, and it was the luckiest
goal. And you know who
it
was against?
Winnipeg.
And the goalie?
Brossoit.
Yes. Fun fact about Laurent Brossoit.
Fun fact about him?
Yeah.
I scored my first goal on him.
Yes, and not French.
Not French, yeah, that's another one. Like Larry Brossoit. He's
from BC.
BC, I think. So French name, but nothing French to him. Because when he joined
Vegas?
The Vegas Golden Knights, Jonathan Marchessault was like, oh, I'm happy I'm getting another French guy on the team. And they're like, he's not French. He's like, oops, got to do my homework. Good, that's awesome. New Year's resolution, anything for you or maybe some of the guys in the room that have got some good ones that have discussed it?
Donor said he was going to be nicer to me this year, so that was his. No, I actually, I just started another book. I want to read more books, I guess. A little bit boring, but...
What are you reading? I think this is great.
I can't say which one. Okay, it's a little embarrassing.
That's okay. We don't need but if there's a good one along the way that you want to share, use X like you did back in 2013. Just put it out there so people can follow along.
Maybe
too.
I will. Yeah, I actually
at Sabres Live.
At Sabres Live, we want to know.
Yeah. I'm reading a couple right now, but the one is Theo Fleury's book.
Okay,
Catching Fire. I think.
Yep.
Yeah, that one's pretty intense. I got a couple going right now. I kind of go back and forth.
That's good. Yeah.
Is your dog with you in season?
No, that's my parents' dog.
Yeah.
No, saw her over Christmas. Usually she cries when I get home, but she just saw me and kind of just went away. So I was a little rattled. I think it was because everybody else had been home for a little bit, and I was kind of the last one, and she's like, whatever.
But, that's tough.
Any good Christmas surprises this year under the tree or something cool?
Christmas surprises. Actually, yeah. Me and my little brother, my older brother got engaged this past summer, and he's getting married. He got us both like custom wedges, and it was like the best man thing, kind of like he was asking us to be his best man. So that was a cool way to do it. Got a nice little custom wedge, and then he wrote a nice little note in there too. So yeah, we were pretty fired up for that.
That is awesome.
Yeah. All right,
nice touch.
Last one on teammates. We have Tyler Ennis on the show tomorrow.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah, Enzo, you played with him in Ottawa. That's right.
Yeah, Enzo's the best. I really enjoyed my time with him. Great teammate.
Did he have Enzo sauce with him? Did he carry his sauce around?
No, he didn't at the time, but he was telling me stories of back in the day when he actually had, like, the sauce.
Yeah. Oh, they sold it in
here.
The stores.
It was in, like, Wegmans.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy a good Halloween? Social media suggests you may have had a Halloween moment with him. Was Enzo a ghost?
Oh, yeah. We did Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. Yeah, we're seeing it right now. Enzo was the one in the drape?
Yeah, and he's not crouched down either. That's actually how tall he is.
So that's you, Delzato, and is that a?
That's Delzato.
Delzato, and he's on the left.
Batherson.
Oh, Drake Batherson.
Yeah.
Oh, so you played with Delz, right? I played with him in New York too.
Yeah, I played with Delia.
Best DJ in the locker room.
Yeah, he was big on it. Yeah.
The tunes, like, it would be 9 o'clock in the morning, and it was like Club Delzato going on in the locker room.
Yeah.
I had to tell him to settle down a few times, but he was just a young guy back then.
Yeah.
So.
Amazing. I think we've saved some stuff for the next visit, so please come back.
Yeah.
Thank you for the time today.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Enjoy the game.
Thanks, boys.
We are rapidly approaching Ryan Miller's Catwalk for Charity event presented by New Era Cap Foundation. It is back. It is a week from this Friday. That means January 16th at Babeville. Your chance to get tickets. Go there, sabres.com/catwalk, to get yours today. Back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Pride night tonight here at the rink. Thanks to Josh Norris for joining us on the show. Marty, the poll update to our question is...
It is, which former Canucks look jersey is your favorite? We had the original, we had the black and gold V, the flying skate, and the white navy orcas. The flying skate, the Pavel Bure, Kurt McLean, 94 finals look is number one at almost 50% right now.
Birthdays on this day, we mention, of course, my doppelganger, Andre Benoit, Andre 42 Benoit. On this day, Will Butcher, 31, and our dear friend who we lost in June, Amherst legend Scott Metcalf, would have been 59 today.
Yeah, the Metter, what a person he was and what a teammate he was, and yeah, we're still mourning him as a great friend that we lost way too soon.
Real quick on tonight, Sabres and Canucks.
Well, you know what? The Canucks have played so much better since the return of Thatcher Demko, and
especially
he came back against the Sabres, which he didn't play well the last time.
Yeah, Canucks have been good on the road. Buffalo, excellent at home. We'll see you tonight, 6:30 on MSG.